I wonder if we could turn for scripture reading just at this stage to the book of Numbers, chapter 22. Well, you're turning to that. Maybe I'll just read that verse in the book of Jude, the verse 11. It says, "Woe unto them, for they have gone the way of Cain, and ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah." Now, last time we looked at the way of Cain, and now we're going to look at the heir of Balaam. And we're going to read about Balaam in Numbers chapter 22, and begin at verse 1. "The children of Israel set forward and pitched in the plains of Moab, for on this side Jordan by Jericho. And Balak, the son of Zippor, saw all that Israel had done to the Amorites. And Moab was afraid of the people, because they were many. And Moab was distressed because of the children of Israel. And Moab said unto the elders of Midian, Now shall this company lick up all that are round about us, as the ox licketh up the grass of the field. And Balak, the son of Zippor, was king of the Moabites at that time. He sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor, of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, Behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come now therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are mighty. For me, peradventure, I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. For I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, and he whom thou cursest is cursed. And the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. And they came unto Balaam, and spake unto him in the words of Balak. And he said unto them, Lodge here this night, and I will bring you word again, as the Lord shall speak unto me. And the princes of Moab abode with Balaam. And God came unto Balaam and said, What men are these with thee? And Balaam said unto God, Balak the son of Zippor, the king of Moab, hath sent unto me, saying, Behold, there's a people come out of Egypt, which covereth the face of the earth. Come now, curse me them. Peradventure, I shall be able to overcome them and drive them out. And God said unto Balaam, Thou shalt not go with them. Thou shalt not curse the people, for they are blessed. And Balaam rose up in the morning and said unto the princes of Balak, Get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up, and they went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. And Balak sent yet again princes, more and more honorable than they. And they came to Balaam and said to him, Thus saith Balak, son of Zippor, Let nothing, I pray thee, hinder thee from coming unto me, for I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people. And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, If Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more. Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more. And God came unto Balaam at night and said unto him, If the men come to call thee, rise up and go with them, but get the word which I shall say unto thee, that thou shalt do. And Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled because he went. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and the two servants with him. And the ass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. And the ass turned aside out of the way and went into the field. And Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But the angel of the Lord stood in a path of the vineyards a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself onto the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the ass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam. And Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the ass with a staff. And the Lord opened the mouth of the ass, and she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee, that thou hast smitten me these three times?" And Balaam said unto the ass, "Because thou hast mocked me, I would that there were a sword in mine hand, for now would I kill thee." And the ass said unto Balaam, "Am not I thine ass, upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "Nay." And the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hand. And he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine ass these three times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me. And the ass saw me and turned from me these three times. Unless she had turned from me, and surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive." And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, "I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get me back again." And we'll end our reading there, knowing the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word to our hearts afresh. Let's just unite in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we think of these scenes, and Lord, they are scenes that we need to look very closely at. We think of what thy word speaks of, the error of Balaam. And Lord, we recognize there was error. And yet, Lord, we see a man here who, to the outward, looks as if he is a man who's obedient to thee. And Lord, we recognize that man looks on the outward appearance, but thou dost look in the heart. And we pray that thou wouldst look in the hearts tonight and examine, and that thou wouldst come and apply thy word to each and every one tonight, that we might see thee and might hear thy voice in the midst of everything. Draw us nigh to thee and bless us as we serve thee this evening. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we'd ask these things. Amen. Amen. There was an unprecedented discovery made a few years ago, an ancient text in a place called Deir Allah in Jordan, discovered in 1967. And it indicates the actions of, or the activities of a prophet by the name of Balaam. And the name Balaam was taken from a plastered column. There was writing on it. There were still fragments of the writing. It was in black and red, the writing. And there were the little fragments here and there of what used to be a column with 50 lines of writing on it. But what writing there was indicated that this Balaam was the same Balaam that we're reading about this evening. His name was Balaam, the son of Beor. Exactly the same name as the prophet here in this portion of Scripture. And we read about him here. He is a prophet. He is one who has been called upon by Balak, the king of the Moabites, to stand against the children of Israel. The children of Israel now had traversed the wilderness. They were about to come into the promised land. They had already conquered the Amorites, and they were on the borders of the land of promise. And the Moabites and the Midianites together became very afraid of what these Israelites were going to do. They could see them encamping as the sand of the sea for multitude had seemed, and they could see that they were about to sweep into the land. And so they were asking themselves, what can we do? Moab, the king of Moab, knew that they couldn't stand against them by military might. So he thought, "I'll try and do something else. I'll stir up this man, Balaam, And I know that he's a powerful prophet. I know that he uses enchantments. I know that he has had power in the past. So I'll go and ask him if he will curse Israel. And if he will curse Israel so that they are defeated in the battle and that I win in the battle, well, that will solve the problem. So he sends for this man, Balaam. And we're told about him here in this portion of Scripture. Indeed, there are four chapters in the Word of God that are devoted to this man, Balaam. And we think of how the creation is in one or two chapters. But that's not all. We read about him three times in the New Testament. We read about Balaam in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 15 and 16. We read about him in Jude 11. And we read about him in Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. So this is a character that stands out in the Word of God. This is a character that God would want to draw our attention to. And as we've already said, in Jude verse 11, he is given here as an example of apostasy. We think of him, and he is among Cain and Balaam himself and Korah. Those three are mentioned in Jude verse 11 as examples of apostates. But it is more than that, because he goes on and he describes, Jude here, how that these men are spots in your feasts of charity. And he says they're raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. Now these men here, Balaam and the Cain that we thought about last week, these are men of whom it is said that it is reserved for them the blackness of darkness forever. Now, if that's the case, we certainly don't want to be like them. We don't want to follow their example. We don't want to go down the road that they are following. We need to be those who are anything but like the men here, the way of Cain, and the gainsaying of Korah. And we think about the greediness of this man Balaam. And we need to make sure that we're not in the blackness of darkness forever. We need to be on that road that leads to the light of God. So for a few minutes tonight, we want to take a look at this man Balaam. We are going to wave the red signal flag, the warning sign, above this man again, and we're going to say, don't follow in his footsteps. So what do we learn about this man, Balaam, here? Well, I want you to see some of the distinctions of Balaam. Think of the things that are distinctive about him here in this portion of Scripture. Look at chapter 22 and look at verses 5 and 6. It says there that he sent messengers. This is Balak, the king of Moab, that he sent messengers therefore unto Balaam, the son of Beor of Pethor, which is by the river of the land of the children of his people, to call him, saying, behold, there is a people come out of Egypt. Behold, they cover the face of the earth, and they abide over against me. Come thou therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people, for they are too mighty for me. Peradventure I shall prevail, that we may smite them, and that I may drive them out of the land. So he says here, if you go on there, that who Balaam blesses is blessed, and who Balaam curses is cursed. So here is this man, and he's heard of Balaam. He knows very much about Balaam. He knows him as a prophet. He knows him as a man whose curses and whose blessings come to fruition. But I want you to see here that when they came and asked him to curse the children of Israel, that there is a very perplexing thing here, because this heathen prophet goes to the God of Israel. You'll see that he goes, if you look at verse 12 here, it says, then God said unto Balaam, and if you look up there, you'll find that he goes to the Lord. Look at verse 8. I will bring you word again as the Lord. Now, you'll notice the capital letters. This is Jehovah. So this heathen prophet knows enough to go to the God of heaven. And not only does this heathen prophet go to the God of heaven, but the God of heaven speaks to him. And you'll notice that he's given certain privileges here. First of all, he hears the word of God. And that's a mighty privilege. You know, you mightn't look at it as a privilege tonight, but it is a privilege to hear the gospel. It's a privilege to hear the word of God. It's a privilege for God to direct you. And here is God directing this heathen prophet. And he says to the heathen prophet, do not curse these people. Do not curse the children of Israel, because I bless them. Let them go. Don't listen to Balak. Don't listen to these men who are against my way and against my work. And don't listen to what they have to say. My, what a mighty privilege and blessing it is to hear the warning of God, to hear God saying, this is what you need to do. This is the way that you need to walk. This is the thing that you need to engage in. And this is something that you need to give earnest heed to. And you know, dear friend, we're coming to you in the gospel tonight. And God's word comes through the foolishness of preaching. God has ordained that through the foolishness of preaching that you should come to him. And he wants you to hear the word of God, and that's a privilege. You mightn't count it as a privilege tonight, but what a privilege it is to hear the word of God. But I want you to see further tonight. Not only did this man hear the word of God, but he heeded it. He listened to what God had to say. He listened to what God wanted him to do. Look at verses 13 and 14. It says, and Balaam rose up in the morning, and he said unto the princes of Balak, get you into your land, for the Lord refuseth to give me leave to go with you. And the princes of Moab rose up and went unto Balak and said, Balaam refuseth to come with us. So here's this man of whom Jude says that he is reserved to the blackness of darkness forever. And he's obeying the word of God. He's listening to what God has to say, and his heart is tender enough, and he is wise enough to listen to what God has to say. And because God has said, don't curse this people, and don't do what the Moabites and the heathen are telling you to do, he is wise enough to listen to that. And here is this man who is said among the apostates here in the book of Jude. And all the references in the book or in the New Testament are negative references, but you wouldn't see it here. You wouldn't think it here. You'd think here's a prophet of God. Here's a man who is following the Lord. Here's a man who is obedient to what God's word has to say. He's submissive to the word of God. You say this is a good guy. This is a good man. He's checking with the Lord, and he is doing what God wants him to do. You know, here's a seemingly positive character. And maybe as people look at you, they would see a positive character. You know, we turn to Deuteronomy chapter 23 and verse 4. And God speaks there about the wickedness of the Moabites. And he says, because they met you not with bread and water in the way when ye came forth out of Egypt, and because they hired against you the Balaam, the son of Pethor of Mesopotamia, to curse thee. Now, apart from that verse and the references in the New Testament, you would have said, well, this is a man on the right side. But he wasn't. You see, you can look on the outside, and you can look at people, and maybe they come and hear the word of God. And maybe even to some extent they are obedient to the word of God. Maybe even have made a profession of faith at some time. And it hasn't been real, but it has been something that has been done. And maybe you're religious, and outwardly you are one who seems to obey and have a regard for the word of God. And still end up in the blackness of darkness forever. You see, this is very solemn. It's very hard to work out the story of this man as you go on. Here's a man who shows so many characteristics of a true prophet of God. And yet the Bible speaks of him as among the apostates, as among those that are condemned of God. So we see something of the distinctives of Balaam. But then I want you to see the desire of Balaam. Because at the end of the day, the desire of Balaam was a desire of greed. You think of what it says there in the book of Jude, in verse 11. It speaks of the apostates. He says in verse 11, "Woe unto them, for they've gone in the way of Cain and ran greedily after the error of Balaam." Now, the error of Balaam then is the error of greed. He, in the end, takes the money of these people. But I want you to see the story here as we look at it, and you will see that that does not just happen immediately, or it doesn't just happen blatantly. He doesn't just grab the money. We've already seen something of that. How that these men, if you notice carefully, that if you look at verse 7, that the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian departed with the rewards of divination. So it mentions the rewards of divination. And then if you go on later, when these men depart, they went away with the rewards, so that when Balaam refused to divine or curse the children of Israel, he doesn't get the rewards. So here's a man who at the start refuses these rewards. He refuses the money. Here are these men that come in with a great deal of money. And then you'll notice that when in the first instance he refuses the money, that Balak sends again more honorable princes. And look at what he said to this man. He said in verse 17, "For I will promote thee unto very great honor, and I will do whatsoever thou sayest unto me. Come therefore, I pray thee, curse me this people." So not only now is there money on offer, but there is a status, there is a position, there is a place of honor, and he has all these things, and he is given all of these things as a reward. And he says to these people, however, he says, if look at verse 18, "And Balaam answered and said unto the servants of Balak, if Balak would give me his house full of silver and gold, I cannot go beyond the word of the Lord my God to do less or more." You know, if we had a race of preachers in this day and generation who were to do the same as Balaam was doing here, we would have a far better state of the church in this day and generation. He says, no matter what you give me, it seems as if he's saying, I'm not interested in your money, and I'm not interested in your honor. What I'm interested in is what God says to me to do. He says, I can't go beyond what God would tell me to do. I can't go beyond God's word. And my, what a wonderful thing that is. And my, if we had people like that in this day and generation, you know, if we had preachers in the pulpit, and they were saying, I cannot preach anything other than the word of God. I can't go beyond what God's word has to say. My, we'd be lauding them. We would be thinking, my, what great men of God these are. But this man who says all of these things, he is reserved in the blackness of darkness forever. But then he betrays himself. Look at verse 19. It says, "Now therefore, I pray you, tarry ye also here this night, that I may know what the Lord will say unto me more." Now here he begins to betray his heart. He has said, no, I can't go beyond what God would say to me. Now God has already said to him, don't curse the children of Israel. God has already given his word. But Balaam is saying to these men, I can't go beyond what God has to say, but stay here tonight, and I will go and I will just check with the Lord And I will just make sure that what God is saying to me is what I've understood God is saying. Now, really there you have the first betrayal of the fact that this man really is in it for the money. He's refused the money. He's refused the honor before. But if you were in that position and you knew what God was saying, and God had already said very clearly, do not curse the children of Israel, you would have just sent those men on their way. You have said to the emissaries of the king of Moab, well, on you go. God has told me what to do, and I can't do any more. But no, Balaam brings them in and says, well, just wait here tonight, and I'll go to the Lord. And really what he's hoping is that God will change the message. He's looking for God to change the message. Now, of course, he should understand that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God was not going to change the message. But here's a man who is being enticed by the money. There is a great temptation upon him. And of course, the old devil knows how to get under our skin. He knows just where to hit us. And this man, obviously, even though he has refused, he is upright enough. He is wily and wise enough to refuse the honor at first. Still, the devil comes at him again and again and again. And of course, the devil is wily, and he knows how to bring the temptation in. And maybe I'm speaking to someone tonight, and you have refused the temptations at times, and you know that you shouldn't be in the road of sin and in the way of sin. But the devil comes back, and he knows the weak point, and he knows how to get under your skin. And subtly, a time and time and time again, the temptation comes. And my, you begin to weaken, and you may begin to say, oh, well, maybe I've been wrong in the past, and maybe I have been a little bit too strict in what I've been doing. Oh, maybe the Lord would say something different to me. And that's the way that sin enters in. And you can see the way that the devil is undermining, how the devil is wily and the temptation is coming and the old flesh is beginning to rise within him, and he's beginning to give place to the flesh. He's beginning to give place to this. And when you begin to give place to temptation, that's always when the danger comes in. So we see something of the desire of Balaam. It's not outright there. He doesn't just grab the money. He doesn't just look for the honor straight away. He's wise enough and upright enough to know that this is wrong. But you can see the way that this thing has been imbibed and infiltrated into his life. We see the desire of Balaam. But then I want you to see the description of Balaam, because we begin now to get below the surface. Here's a man who's professing to do what God wants him to do, and only what God wants him to do. But I want you to look at the description of him that we have here in the Word of God. Balaam, we're told explicitly here, resorts to enchantments. We know that these are omens. These are, it speaks of divination here. The elders go in verse 7 with the rewards of divination. And that's what this man is practicing. Now, if you turn over to chapter 24 and look at verse 1, it says there, and when Balaam saw that it pleased the Lord to bless Israel, he went not as at other times to seek after enchantments, for he set his face toward the wilderness. So here's a man who uses enchantments. Now, the word enchantment there, or omen, is a word that just speaks of witchcraft or sorcery. That's something that was clearly forbidden in God's precious word. We read in the book of Deuteronomy chapter 18 and verse 10 that there is a very strict prohibition against this. It says, there shall not be found among you any that maketh his son or daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch. And here, he's speaking here in the context of supernatural magic, of resorting to soothsayers or necromancy, or all manner of prophecies or magic charms, or all of these things are explicitly forbidden to the children of Israel, and they're counted among the abominable practices. So here's a man, and he has gone to speak with God, and God has spoken to him, and he at the outset seems to be obedient to God, but he's not. He is a sorcerer. He's an enchanter. He is a user of magic charms and all the rest of it. And we can see in his background here, and you go beyond it, and you go and look, and you begin to dig into this man. And if you were to read through the chapters in the book of Numbers, you would think that Balaam wasn't such a bad fella. He might have made mistakes, but he wasn't such a bad fella. But here we find that he was a man who used these enchantments. He was a pagan at the end of the day. And the word that is used for enchantments, that is used in Galatians 5 and 20, is a word that just, pharmakia, it has the thought of drugs. Now I wonder, maybe I'm speaking to somebody on the internet or wherever, and you've been caught up on the drugs. Maybe you've been caught up in the enchantments. Maybe you have been involved in the astrology or Ouija boards or something like that. And my, you've been caught up in these things, and these things are real. And they are an abomination to God. There was some power in this prophet. He was able to bless and curse, and obviously what he had blessed before, Balak says here that what he says, I wot that he whom thou blessest is blessed, he whom thou cursest is cursed. And of course there is a certain devilish power, and this is of the devil. Here's a man who outwardly looks as if he is a child of God, he's a prophet of God, but he's a servant of the devil. And maybe the same has to be said of you. You know, you have an outward appearance as a child of God, but in the end, you're a servant of the devil, a servant of sin. And here's a man, he uses all of these things, and God has marked these things as abominable. He's not good, he's bad. It seemed as if first, here he was, a man of God, a prophet of God, but he ends up reserved in the blackness of darkness forever. But there's something else I want you to see. I want you to see the dealings of God with Balaam. Because the next day after the delegation from the king of Moab had come to Balaam the second time, and he got up to go with him. Look at verses 21 and 22. It says, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his ass and went with the princes of Moab. And God's anger was kindled against them because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his ass and his two servants with him. So now we are introduced to Balaam's donkey or Balaam's ass. Now, this is interesting because God steps into the picture here. Now, it seems as if God was saying to Balaam to go on this journey. But God was putting Balaam to the test here. And you'll notice now that as he went, two things happened. First of all, the anger of the Lord. You have Balaam's donkey here. And if you look in verse 22, it says, and God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. So here is God standing in the way. Here is God, and God is angry against this prophet. This prophet seems to be obedient to God, but he's going in his own way. He's doing his own thing, and the anger of God is stirred against him. Dear friend, do not take the anger of God for granted. Do not take the things of God for granted. He's angry. He's angry with you and your sin. But not only have we the anger of the Lord, but we have the angel of the Lord here. Now, there's a lot of evidence here to show that the angel of the Lord is actually the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because later on, Balaam falls flat on his face to worship the one. And that would indicate that this is the Lord who is worthy of our worship. So Balaam here would have seen the Lord. The Lord broke into his life now. He had spoken to God before, but now God is putting a barrier to this man to going on the path that was going to lead to destruction for him. And he has the donkey. The donkey sees the angel of the Lord with the fiery sword guarding the way, and the donkey falls down flat on its belly, and the Balaam begins to beat the donkey, and the donkey's mouth opens and says to him that he should not beat the donkey because he had seen the angel of the Lord in the way. And if the donkey hadn't stopped, then Balaam would have been killed. And there is a lot of humor, of course, in all of this. But Balaam is riding the donkey, and then he begins to speak to the donkey. You say, preacher, do you believe that the donkey spoke? Yes, I believe that the donkey spoke. God has power to do this. But you'll notice here that God made the donkey cripple Balaam. And we find that the second time that the donkey spoke, that he was in a way where there were two walls. And because of the way that the donkey jolted, it crushed Balaam's foot. And sometimes God has to bring us into narrow places and places where we get crushed before we listen to the word of God. And that's what happened here. But God broke in to the life of this man. God brought him into the tight spot in order that he might speak to him, and that he might, as it were, inject some sense into what was taking place. But God wanted this man to turn. But I want you to see again what he does. First of all, he confesses his sin. Do you notice that? When it says, look at verse 34. And Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me. Now therefore, if it displease thee, I will get thee back again. So here's this man, and he ends up in the blackness of darkness forever. And it seems as if there is some acknowledgement of a sin, and he wants to turn. He says, Lord, if you want me to turn, I will turn. And then he acknowledges God and all the rest of it. This man who knows he cannot curse Israel, he says in Numbers 23 and 23, surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. He knows that his divination is useless. He says, Lord, what you want me to do, I'll do. If you want me to turn back, I'll turn back. And dear friend, in many ways, that's what we want you to do. We want you to come and acknowledge your sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. What we want you to do, what we mean by repentance, is to turn in the path, to go back. Don't go on that way that leads you to hell. Don't go on that way that leads you down to destruction. Don't go on that way that leads you into the blackness of darkness forever. But you need to turn and to seek the Lord. So here's another enigma of this man. It looks as if he is willing to turn from his sin. But you see, that's not the whole story. Because there was no real turning. There was no real turning. Because I want you to look at the doggedness of Balaam. If you were to look in chapter 25 of the book of Numbers, you will read about an incident where, in the end, the children of Israel are enticed by the women of Moab and the women of Midian, and they seduce the men of Israel to get involved in pagan rites. And they begin to destroy the men of Israel by enticing them into these pagan rites. Now, we learn in chapter 30 that God sends the children of Israel against Midian and Moab to punish them for this incident. And it says in Numbers chapter 31 and verse 8, and says, "And they slew the kings of Midian beside the rest of them that were slain, namely Evi and Rechem and Zur and Hur and Reba, five kings of Midian. Balaam also, the son of Beor, they slew them with the sword." So Balaam is still with the Moabites and the Midianites. He said, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. Lord, if you want me to turn, I'll turn." But what do we find? In the end of the day, he's still with the Midianites and with the Moabites. There'd be no real turn. And if you turn to Numbers chapter 31 and verse 16, it says of them, "Behold, these cursed the children of Israel through the counsel of Balaam to commit trespass against the Lord in the matter of Peor, and there was a plague among the congregation of Israel." So there was a plague among the children of Israel because they had been enticed by these women into the rites of the children of Moab and Midian. And you will see there in that verse that that had happened through the counsel of Balaam. And you see the money. We read in the book of Jude that they ran greedily after the counsel of Balaam. You see, in the end, the money got him. The prestige got him. The desire for honor got him. And in the end, he gave in to Balak and the Moabites and the Midianites. And that's why he is in the darkness, blackness of darkness forever. There was no real turn. God had spoken to him. He had, in many ways, obeyed the Lord for a time. He seemed to be sorry for his sins for a time. But in the end, he wanted the honor of man instead of the honor of God. He wanted the reward of man instead of the reward of God. And because of that, he perished eternally. You see, dear friend, if it is the reward of men that you want, if it's the honor of other men and women that you want, and if it is money and material things of this life that you want, well, maybe you can have them. But dear friend, if you turn your back upon God to obtain these things, in the end you'll end up in the blackness of darkness forever. And here's a man who seems like such an enigma, such a mystery. He listens to God. He seeks God. He turns at the warning of God. And yet, in the end, he succumbs to the enticement of men. And dear friend, there are so many that are doing the same in this day and generation, succumbing to the enticement of men and the honor of man. Don't do the same, because Jude tells us that he ends in the blackness of darkness forever. Don't go down that path. But you seek the Lord and call upon him and seek him for mercy and for forgiveness and seek him for his eternal salvation and end up in the light of God for all eternity. May God write his word upon our hearts for his name's sake. Let's just bow, please, in a word of prayer. Our loving God and our gracious Father in heaven, we do thank thee for thy precious word afresh to our hearts tonight. No, we pray that thou wouldst cause thy word to linger on. We pray that thy word would have free course, and Lord, that thou wouldst enable men and women to do what Balaam did at the first, and that is to listen to thee and heed thee. But Lord, we pray that it might be real. Lord, we pray that they might not succumb to the enticements of the devil and the enticements of the world, but Lord, that they might make their calling and election sure. Bless thy word. Speak on, we pray. Part us in thy fear and with thy blessing right now. Take us to our homes in safety. Watch over us and be with us. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with thy people, both now and in the incoming days, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.